Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, let's dive into the world of American Express. I'm going to break down their Q3 2024 performance, looking at their earnings call transcript and 10Q filing. Should be interesting.
What's striking is how Amex is not just riding this economic recovery, but actively shaping their future. They're adapting to consumers, especially younger generations. That's where it gets fascinating.
Totally. It's not about weathering the storm. It's about navigating. Right. And speaking of navigation, Amex just hit their 10th straight quarter of record revenue, $16.6 billion, up 8% from last year. 10 quarters in a row. That's got to be something, right?
It's impressive for sure, especially when overall spending growth has stabilized. Shows a real strategy, not just luck. The question is, how are they doing this in a seemingly stable spending environment?
Let's get into it. The transcript highlights one product that's really shining, the Gold Card. And guess what? It's not the older crowd driving this. It's millennials and Gen Z. U.S. Gold Card acquisitions are a full 30% higher than the Platinum Card.
Wow, that's a big detail. Challenges the idea that millennials are avoiding credit cards. What we're seeing is a shift. They want premium products that fit their lifestyle, and Amex gets it. They recently revamped the Gold Card, focusing on dining benefits. A smart move considering millennials and Gen Z make up 80% of new U.S. Gold Card acquisitions.
Okay, so dining is key. But why? Why is this experience so important to millennials and Gen Z, and how is Amex using this?
It's not just food, it's the experience, social connection, the Instagrammable moments. For these generations, dining is self-expression, connecting with friends, even building an online persona. Amex taps into this by building an entire ecosystem around dining. They've acquired companies like Resy and TikTok, offering booking services and restaurant management tools. It's a seamless, elevated dining experience.
So it's more than a card with perks. It's a whole dining experience platform. And that's smart, considering U.S. restaurant food service spending is estimated at $1 trillion. Huge market.
Absolutely. But let's not forget the potential economic slowdown. How is Amex positioned to navigate this?
They're seeing a positive selection effect. Basically, new cardholders are more engaged, spending 30% more than those from 5 years ago.
Interesting. Suggests they're attracting a wealthier, more engaged customer base, less affected by economic changes. It's also worth noting that this engagement is likely because Amex's offerings are so attractive, especially those dining perks.
So it's not just getting new customers, it's attracting the right customers, the ones who will stick around and spend. How does this translate into actual financial performance? Do their credit metrics reflect this?
Absolutely. Amex boasts some of the best credit metrics in the industry. Their net write-off rate, which measures potential loan losses, is at a healthy 2.2%. This shows their focus on high-quality customers is working. These are people who value quality and are likely to maintain good credit, even if they adjust their spending a bit.
Makes sense. But getting and keeping those high-quality customers isn't cheap. They're actually increasing marketing spend, adding $800 million. Some analysts wonder if they're seeing diminishing returns. What do you think?
It's a valid concern. But Amex is playing the long game. They want loyal customers who can weather short-term economic dips, and it seems to be working. Their card fee revenue is growing fast, hitting 18% this quarter, marking 25 straight quarters of double-digit growth.
That's quite a streak. Is this mainly due to those product refreshes we talked about? Are they exceeding their own expectations?
The refreshes are definitely playing a role, but it's more like their strategy is unfolding as planned. They aimed for this growth, and it's happening. Now, to hit their 10% revenue growth target, their bill business needs to accelerate. But that's where we see a difference between U.S. and international performance.
Oh, really? What's happening there?
Well, U.S. consumer spending has been steady, about 6% for the past few quarters. But their international consumer business is booming, 13% growth over the same period.
Wow, big difference. Makes you wonder if those international markets are key to reaching their growth goals. What's driving that international growth?
That's a great question. We don't have specifics, but we can guess. Maybe economic recovery is stronger in some international markets, leading to more spending. Or maybe Amex's expansion is attracting new customers in those regions.
Definitely something to watch. And we've talked about new customers, but is that translating into more spending per person?
That's where things get interesting. While spending is up overall, per member spending has stayed pretty flat, growing at about 2% compared to the overall 6% growth. This is probably due to the influx of new cardholders who might not be spending as much as established members.
Like the gym membership thing. You're all in at first, but then life gets in the way, right? So how much room does Amex have to keep adding new customers to maintain this growth?
That's the big question. Depends on a lot of factors, including the overall economy and competition. But Amex seems confident they can keep attracting new customers, especially with their focus on premium products and appealing to younger generations. Speaking of which, I'm curious about spending categories. Any surprises? Well, while dining is a major focus, especially with the Gold Card refresh, airline spending actually sped up this quarter, jumping from 5% to 6% growth.
Interesting. You'd think with all the emphasis on dining, that would be the star.
Right. But travel, especially air travel, is still a big driver for Amex. And remember, they mentioned international travel bookings in Q3 were the highest since pre-pandemic times.
So people are still eager to travel, which is great for Amex's travel businesses.
Absolutely. And they're not just relying on organic growth. Remember those acquisitions. They're boosting their presence in both dining and travel.
True. It seems those acquisitions, along with their product refreshes, are setting them up for success. But what about their long-term plan and clues about where they're headed?
They're definitely committed to their membership model and are always innovating to improve customer experience. They've also emphasized digital capabilities and expanding their network and partnerships.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think we see their strategy. Adapting to changing preferences, leveraging premium offerings, and strategically investing in high-growth areas like dining and travel.
Exactly. They're not just reacting, they're proactively shaping their future.
Now, before we move on, one more thing. Regulations. Finance is always changing, with new regulations popping up. How's Amex handling this?
It's crucial, and they put a lot into complying with all the laws and regulations. Their 10Q filing actually goes into detail about regulatory developments and their impact.
So they're not just passive, they're actively watching and adapting to changes.
Absolutely. Their expertise in risk management is key here. They have teams dedicated to assessing and mitigating regulatory risks.
Like what kind of regulations are we talking about?
Well, consumer financial products regulation has been busy. For example, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, recently made a rule that lowers the safe harbor amount for credit card late fees.
Meaning what exactly?
It limits how much Amex can charge for late fees, which could affect their revenue.
Got it. So they're always adjusting to stay compliant.
Right. And it's not just consumer protection. They're also dealing with payments regulation, which affects their global payments network.
Sounds complicated.
It can be. But Amex has shown they can manage this complexity and adapt.
So regulations aren't stopping them. They're incorporating them into their strategy, finding ways to thrive in this changing environment.
Exactly. It shows their resilience and adaptability.
This has been a really insightful look into Amex. We've covered their financial performance, their focus on premium offerings, competition, funding strategies, and even regulations. Clearly, Amex is on the move, always evolving.
They're not just riding the wave, they're shaping it.
Now, before we move to the next part, I want to mention one more thing that caught my eye. Their financials. Let's talk about their loans, funding, and overall capital position.
The nuts and bolts. Often overlooked, but essential to understanding a company's health. Let's dive in.
Great. We already touched on their impressive credit metrics with that low 2.2% net write-off rate.
Yeah.
But what's their secret? How are they managing risk in such a dynamic lending environment?
Their focus on attracting and keeping high-quality customers is definitely a key part. These individuals are less likely to default, which helps those credit metrics stay strong.
But even with great customers, there are always risks, right? Economic downturns, sudden changes in spending. How's Amex preparing for that?
One way is their reserve build. It's like a rainy day fund for potential loan losses. In Q3, they added $264 million to their reserves, mainly due to loan growth.
So they're being proactive, building a safety net, not just relying on their customers.
Exactly. They're not just hoping for the best, they're preparing for challenges. Now, about managing money, how are they funding all this lending? Where is it coming from?
Good question. Not just one big pot of gold, I imagine.
You're right. Amex, like any financial institution, uses a mix of funding sources, deposits, debt, and asset securitizations.
Hold on, what are asset securitizations again?
Imagine bundling up their loans and selling them to investors as securities. This gives Amex more capital to make new loans, keeping the money flowing. It's common in finance and crucial to their strategy.
So they're constantly balancing these funding sources to support their lending. Complex, but it's working for them.
It is. And one funding source they're really growing is their direct deposit program.
Direct deposits? What's special about those?
They're stable and relatively cheap funding. Plus, it strengthens customer relationships. Win-win.
So they're encouraging customers to keep their money with Amex, which they can then use to fund more loans. Smart.
Precisely. And all this brings us to their overall capital position, basically how financially strong they are and how well they can handle shocks.
So are we talking about cash reserves and such?
Yes, but it's more than just cash. It includes their equity, the value owned by shareholders. A key metric is their Common Equity Tier 1, CET1 ratio.
Sounds technical. What's a CET1 ratio, tell us simply?
It's like their financial safety net. Higher ratio, stronger position. It measures their core capital against their risk-weighted assets.
Got it. So how's Amex's CET1 ratio looking? Is their safety net strong?
Their CET1 ratio is currently 10.7%, comfortably within their target range of 10% to 11%.
Good news. They're meeting their capital requirements, meaning they're in a good spot to keep investing in growth and returning capital to shareholders. Speaking of which, how are they doing on that front?
They've been actively returning capital through dividends and share repurchases. In Q3 alone, they returned $2.4 billion, with $1.9 billion going towards share repurchases.
Wow, that's significant. It shows confidence in their future and willingness to share their success with shareholders.
Exactly. Positive sign for investors, reflecting their commitment to creating shareholder value.
Okay, we've covered a lot. Revenue growth, strategic focus on dining and travel, strong credit performance, and solid capital position. Amex seems to be doing well.
They seem to be in a strong position, navigating a changing economy with agility, adapting to consumer preferences, and making strategic investments to fuel future growth.
It's really interesting to see how a company like Amex, with its history and established brand, keeps evolving and innovating.
It is. It shows their commitment to staying ahead of the curve and adapting to the ever-changing world of finance and consumer behavior. Welcome back. In part one, we dug into Amex's financials and their strategy. Now, let's look at a concept that's key to their success. Premiumization.
Premiumization. Sounds fancy. What does it actually mean? Just people wanting nicer things?
More than that. It's consumers valuing quality, exclusivity, and experiences, even if it costs more. It's the feeling, the status, the story it tells about you.
Ah, I see. Not just the product, the whole package.
Exactly. And Amex is great at tapping into that. They've built a brand that means premium travel, dining, those lifestyle experiences.
Yeah, and they back it up with benefits and services. Mm-hmm. Their lounge collection, concierge, partnerships with high-end brands, the whole thing.
Right. They're not selling just credit cards. They're selling a lifestyle, a membership to exclusivity. And this really connects with younger generations. They're less into traditional status symbols and more about experiences, personal fulfillment.
Exactly. We talked about millennials and Gen Z driving that gold card success, and it seems premiumization is a big part of that. They'll spend more on things that fit their values, improve their lives, maybe even make a good Instagram story.
Absolutely. It's a shift from stuff to experiences, personal growth, better one amazing meal than five so-so ones. And Amex gives them the way to do that.
So Amex is right at this intersection of finance and lifestyle. Not just a credit card company, but a curator of experiences.
I like that. They get the power of connecting with people emotionally, appealing to their dreams.
Like they're saying, we get you. We know what you want. We're here to help you get it.
Exactly. And that message matters in a world that can feel impersonal. Now, let's talk about another key to Amex's success, how they adapt and innovate. Things change fast.
Right. We can't assume they're just coasting. What challenges do they face and how are they handling them?
Well, competition is huge. Lots of players in financial services, both old and new. Fintech startups are shaking things up and banks are stepping up their game.
So Amex isn't just at the top. They're fighting to stay there. How do they stay ahead?
One way is that focus on premium products and experiences we talked about. Always innovating, refreshing their offerings, like the gold card refresh. They saw dining experiences were getting popular and changed their product to meet that demand.
Right. And it's not just one product. It's the whole ecosystem of benefits and services for that premium lifestyle. It's like a world within a world. Exclusive perks and experiences.
Exactly. That feeling of exclusivity is really powerful, especially for people looking for belonging, for something to aspire to. Like a VIP club, and the Amex card is your membership. But they're not just sticking with what they have, they're looking for new opportunities, making acquisitions like buying Resi to get into growing areas like dining.
And they're going global, reaching new markets. Mm. Remember that strong international performance. That's intentional. Diversifying their revenue, finding new growth.
You got it. Thinking long term, anticipating trends, setting themselves up for success. It's strategic thinking in action.
This has been a great look at Amex. We've seen premiumization, their competitive landscape, their global goals. They're not content to sit still. Always pushing, innovating, adapting.
Agreed. They're a company with a long history, but also incredibly forward-thinking. That's what makes them so interesting.
Absolutely. Now, before we go to the final part, something to think about. We've seen how Amex uses data, technology, and a deep understanding of consumers to create personalized experiences and premium value. What's next for them? Will they keep shaping the industry, or will new disruptors challenge them?
That's the big question, isn't it? We'll have to see. But one thing's for sure, it'll be fascinating to watch.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into American Express. We've covered their financials, their focus on premium offerings, the competitive landscape, and their global ambitions.
And we've seen how they're not just reacting to the changes in the financial services industry, but actively shaping it, anticipating trends, making bold moves.
It's been quite a journey. We've gained a real appreciation for how a company with such history can keep innovating and adapting. As we wrap up, what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
I think it's this. Amex understands connection. They're not just selling financial products. They're building relationships, connecting with people on an emotional level, understanding their aspirations, giving them tools and experiences to reach those aspirations.
That's a great point. It's not just transactions. It's creating a sense of belonging, a community that values quality, experiences, a certain lifestyle.
Exactly. And they do this through a mix of things. Strategic products, targeted marketing, and a deep understanding of consumer behavior. They're always listening, anticipating needs, finding ways to go above and beyond.
And they're not afraid to take risks, to invest in new technologies, acquisitions that fit their vision. They're playing the long game, building a brand that's bigger than just credit cards.
It's a brand that stands for a way of life, a commitment to excellence, a dedication to giving customers the best possible experience.
This deep dive has been incredibly insightful. We've uncovered those secrets to Amex's success, explored their strategies, and got a glimpse into the future of finance.
As we leave our listeners to think about all this, I want to offer one last thought. Amex's journey shows us that in today's world, success goes to those who adapt, innovate, and connect with their customers on a deeper level.
Well said. And that's not just for businesses, it's for individuals too. In a world that's always changing, being able to learn, adapt, and build those meaningful connections is more valuable than ever.
And with that, we'll wrap up our deep dive into American Express. Hope you enjoyed it, and keep exploring the world of business and finance.
Until next time, happy diving.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.